Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we are fighting for our lives down here in the city of Benton Harbor. They're doing everything they can. They're doing car chases through the city, tearing up cars, knowing that they don't have to do this, but yet and still they do it because the people accepts it. We're still fighting. There is a new recall in for the mayor, James Hightower. At this time, we have over 300 signatures. Over 300 signatures. Our goal is to have 800 signatures within the next 3 weeks to put that right there where it belongs. So we're doing the thing. We're making sure we're telling everybody that it is a recall of Mayor Hightower, so they can't say that we didn't say that. Also, we know the Sheriff's Department will be out again. So we plan to keep the Sheriff's Department busy for the next 2 or 3 years. Because we're going to, every time we do a recall, they send the Sheriff's Department out, so they're going to stay out. We're going to make sure that they're out doing something. They spent 4.5 to 5 months on the last recall, knocking on people's doors, kicking people's doors in. Then they had the nerve to come to my home with a SWAT team, with an army. Even brought one of their brand new tanks, they told me. So I don't know, I wasn't here, but I'm just going by what people are saying, but we're fighting back. We had a tremendous day in court just this past week. We went under the judge named Charlie Lozada, former crackhead, used to buy drugs from a guy that we know, but, you know, that's hearsay again. We didn't actually see it. But we know that who he is. Look like he may have owed a drug dealer some money, and look like they had broke his arm at one time. But anyway, that's Judge Charles Lozada. That's who we're talking about. Anyway, we went in to have the bind over squashed because they don't have any evidence. We know they don't have any evidence. We know they're capable of making up evidence. We know what they're doing. We got this sleazeball prosecutor, Michael Sepik, who is the lowest thing on earth, but we understand him. He's doing what they're telling him to do. He's worked for the corporation Whirlpool. He don't work for the people. It's a shame that there's nobody running against him. It's a shame they have nobody actually to run against him. It's shameful. It's pitiful. But unfortunately, he's there. But, like I said, we had a great week. We went before him. We knew what he was going to do. We knew that he was going to echo the same thing to Judge Sherrod because they all ended together. They probably had a meeting together and sat down and decided how they were going to handle this. But good news is we're on our way to the appeal court. And that on the appeal level, we shall win. Even if not, we'll be at trial. But unfortunately, we're in an area where they're still burning crosses and hanging nooses. So we're fighting back. We're not ashamed of the work that we're doing here. We're doing the things that need to be done. We know what we're up against. We just have to show them and teach them who we are, where we are, and what we need to do. But I'm more than happy right now with the way things are going. Things are going the way I anticipated. I knew we couldn't win nothing in Berrien County. But I do believe that we can win in the appeal court, plus I also believe that we can win at trial. We got this guy, Michael Sepik. We're asking that he resign. Well, I'm trying to get somebody to run against him. He doesn't have anybody to run against him. If anybody run against him, they can beat him. Anybody. He's not well-liked in the community, not just the black community. He's not real well-liked in the white community. Most people don't like him. He's a sleazeball, gutter rat, scumball, you name it, he's all that. But unfortunately, he's doing the work of the corporation Whirlpool. So we're just doing the things that we need to do. We're just standing up for what's right, making sure that we're doing the things that's going to help everybody, not some of the people, but all the people. So we're here today. We're fighting today. We're standing up for what's right today and doing everything that needs to be done. So we're going to take this thing one step at a time and do what needs to be done. Let's listen to a little Martin Luther King and see where we at. All right.
I'm going to talk about it everywhere I go. I know it isn't popular to talk about it in some circles today. I'm not talking about emotional bosh when I talk about love. I'm talking about a strong, demanding love. And I have seen too much hate. I have seen too much hate on the faces of sheriffs in the South. I've seen hate on the faces of too many Klansmen and too many white citizens, counselors in the South, to want to hate myself, because every time I see it, I know that it does something to their faces and their personalities. And I say to myself that hate is too great a burden to bear. I have decided to love it. If you're seeking the highest good, I think you can find it through love. The beautiful thing is that we aren't moving wrong when we do it. Because John was right, God is love. He who hates does not know God. But he who loves has the key that unlocks the door to the meaning of ultimate reality. And so I say to you today, my friend, that you may be able to speak with the tongues of men and angels. You may have the eloquence of articulate speech, but if you have not love, it means nothing. Yes, you may have the gift of prophecy. You may have the gift of scientific prediction. And understand the behavior of molecules. You may break into the storehouse of nature and bring forth many new insights. Yes, you may ascend to the heights of academic achievement so that you have all knowledge. You may boast of your great institutions of learning and the boundless extent of your degrees, but if you have not love, all of these mean absolutely nothing. You may even give your goods to feed the poor. You may bestow great gifts to charity. You may tower high in philanthropy. But if you have not love, your charity means nothing. You may even give your body to be burned and die the death of a martyr, and your spilt blood may be a symbol of honor for generations yet unborn. Thousands may praise you as one of history's greatest heroes, but if you have not love, your blood was spilt in vain. What I'm trying to get you to see this morning is that a man may be self-centered in his self-denial and self-righteous in his self-sacrifice. His generosity may feed his ego, and his piety may feed his pride. So without love, benevolence becomes egotism. And martyrdom becomes spiritual pride. I want to say to you as I move to my conclusion, as we talk about where do we go from here, we must honestly face the fact that the movement must address itself to the question of restructuring the whole of American society. There are 40 million poor people here. One day we must ask the question, why are there 40 million poor people in America? When you begin to ask that question, you're raising a question about the economic system, about a broader distribution of wealth. When you ask that question, you begin to question the capitalistic economy. And I'm simply saying that more and more, we've got to begin to ask questions about the whole society. We are called upon to help the discouraged beggars in life's marketplace. But one day we must come to see that an edifice which produces oil. You began to ask the question, who owns the iron oil? You began to ask the question, why is it that people have to pay water bills in a world that's two-thirds water? These are words that must be said. I don't think you have me in a bind today. I'm not talking about communism. What I'm talking about is far beyond communism. My inspiration didn't come from Karl Marx. My inspiration didn't come from Engels. My inspiration didn't come from Trotsky. My inspiration didn't come from Lenin. Yes, I read Communist Manifesto and Das Kapital a long time ago. And I saw that maybe Marx didn't follow Hegel enough. He took his dialectics, but he left out his idealism and his spiritualism, and he went over to a German philosopher by the name of Feuerbach and took his materialism and made it into a system that he called dialectical materialism. I have to reject that. What I'm saying to you this morning, communism forgets that life is individual. Capitalism forgets that life is social. The kingdom of brotherhood is found neither in the thesis of communism nor the antithesis of capitalism, but in a higher synthesis. Combines the truths of both. Now, when I say questioning the whole society, it means ultimately coming to see that the problem of racism, the problem of economic exploitation, and the problem of war are all tied together. These are the triple evils that are interrelated. If you will let me be a preacher just a little bit. One night a juror came to Jesus. He wanted to know what he could do to be saved. Jesus didn't get bogged down on the kind of isolated approach of what you shouldn't do. Jesus didn't say, now, Nicodemus, you must stop lying. He didn't say, Nicodemus, now, you must not commit adultery. He didn't say, now, Nicodemus, you must stop cheating if you are doing that. He didn't say, Nicodemus, you must stop drinking liquor if you are doing that excessively. He said something altogether different because Jesus realized something basic. That if a man will lie, he will steal. And if a man will steal, he will kill. So instead of just getting bogged down on one thing, Jesus looked at it and said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. In other words, your whole structure must be changed. Nation that would keep people in slavery for 244 years will vilify them and make them things. Therefore, they will exploit them and poor people generally, economically. A nation that will exploit economically will have to have foreign investments and everything else, and it will have to use its military might to protect them. All of these problems are tied together. You must be born again. So I conclude by saying today that we have a task, and let us go out with the divine dissatisfaction. Let us be dissatisfied anemia of deeds. Let us be dissatisfied until the tragic walls that separate the outer city of wealth and comfort from the inner city of poverty and despair shall be crushed by the battering rams of the forces of justice. Let us be dissatisfied until we live on the outskirts of hope, brought into the metropolis of daily security. Let us be dissatisfied until slums are cast into the junk heaps of history. Every family will live in a decent sanitary home. Let us be dissatisfied until the dark yesterdays of segregated schools will be transformed into bright tomorrows of quality integrated education. Let us be dissatisfied until integration is not seen.
Let us be dissatisfied. You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you this, we got to be dissatisfied. We cannot be satisfied with what is going on today. I'm saying this to Judge Lasata, Michael Sethic, prosecutor. You must be. You got to be born again. Those are two of the most corrupt individuals anywhere in these United States. They have the whirlpool interest. Those of you who are out there, we have to learn to fight back. We have to learn to fight back. Judge Lasada said on Thursday that you do not need evidence to bind someone over for trial. Nobody has ever heard of that. That is the most unheard of thing that I never heard of. Judge Sherrock said the only thing. They are targeting Reverend Edward Pinckney. They figure if we can go to trial with no evidence, then an all-white jury will probably convict me. That is not going to happen. You heard it from me. I know these devils. They haven't just started to be devils. They've been devils for a very, very long time. But on that note, I got to bring in my good friend, my guy, from beautiful New York City. The only one. He's up close to Canada today. But he's the man. He's the man with a plan. Ralph Plummer, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney, listening to every word, and this is my second favorite of Martin Luther King's speeches, because what he is talking about is, what is capitalism? It is a system of organized robbery. And he speaks about going to other countries. He speaks about the empire, going to steal resources and then taking the army to back it up. But you know, an interesting thing is happening all over the world today. It is happening in Benton Harbor. When you hear of the people of various countries fighting the American Empire in Iraq, in all of the Middle East, people are fighting back. We've heard of the spring, the great uprising, the being born again. Revolutionary spring in the Arab countries has started in Algeria and spread across the Middle East. Nations are in the throes of rebirth, doing what we must do and following the message that you have been giving us all along. First message I heard you say, you don't have to talk to the police. That's everyone must understand that, and I'm sure everyone in your listening audience knows that, but they have to spread the word, you know, to all of the people there. You must tell them that they do not have to talk to the police. You do have to give your name, and if you're a young person, you have to give your parents' name, contact information. They use this when they attack kids who do not have ID. And then you say, I don't want to talk. and this is my ID, never tell them you were not born in America if you were not. That is not a requirement. Your ID, and then you ask for a lawyer. Just say no. And if they continue to search you, you say, I object to this search. Do not give a name, a nickname. Just a name. I do not want to talk to you, and I refuse a search. And the thing that's not listed there, try to travel with people who have good sense and who will stand near you and be witnesses. This is the biggest problem the police have, and now everybody has a cell phone. There's a recorder on your cell phone. If you're not the person under arrest, take your cell phone out and take a picture and record it. When they come with the tanks and breaking down the doors, record it. This changes everything. No one has to believe what you say, what the police say. It's all on record. Use your cell phone for more than just idle chatter. Your cell phone is a weapon. Your friends become a weapon. And our enemies are the weapons of the system. I've said over and over on this program, no nation, no people can be oppressed without the connivance of their own. And we've been listening for years to the connivance of our, no, the officials, they lie to us and say they are ours. And then the moment they're elected, they join Whirlpool. They put their hand out. Or maybe that's the reason why they wanted to be elected in the first place, to sell us. To sell the interests of the people. That is connivance. And throughout history, there have been connivers who work for the oppressors. Going back to Alexander, that was Alexander the so-called Great. That was one of the things that was a moving force in his conquering of people. When he would say to the so-called leaders, if you cooperate with us, we'll keep you king. But if you do not, we will kill you. And there are too few Reverend Pinckneys, too few Queen Zenobias who say, you may do that, but you may not do that without a fight. You may beat me today, but you can't beat me forever. And I'm going to fight you forever. And this is the message. These are the messages that we must have. Now, last week, I gave a list of things that we had been talking about. And the one that I left out was the connivers, the politicians. They are connivers. They work with the enemy. And in understanding Martin Luther King's message, you must put it all together. It is not so much about communism, capitalism, although we know what capitalism is doing to us. You cannot debate that. It was slavery, genocided the indigenous people here, and in continuing, we see something, you know, Miss Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow, and I have an argument with that. It's the same old Jim Crow with a new name, and so I don't call it the new Jim Crow. Michelle Alexander, get it right. It's the old Jim Crow with a new twist. And what you have when they arrest Reverend Pinckney, and they intimidate witnesses, and they own the judges, and they own our elected officials. This is the old Jim Crow, business as usual. When they say slavery is gone, no, it isn't. They change the name and the way it works. You go to prison, and then they have prison labor. They have chain gangs. They have road gangs. They rent people out from the prisons to corporations. Slavery with a new name. the old Jim Crow. And when you look at the number of people under the influence of our judicial system, our penal system, it's more than in slavery. What new Jim Crow? And Lynn Stewart, who we just talked with a few moments ago, says, and one of the things, she can say it so well. And when people ask her, well, Lynn, why were you in jail? You were a lawyer. And she says, I was too good a lawyer. And that is the truth. She represented the people too well, and she told the truth in a manner that people could understand. Now, here's a simple Lynn Stewartism. The problem with America, like a junkie hooked on heroin, they're hooked on cheap labor and free land. Got that? Hooked on cheap labor. The people being enslaved today, the new people being enslaved, are the immigrants. You know, you're out there in Benton Harbor. They have to work to survive. And that's about all they get. Survival money. If that isn't a new slavery, and they are challenged to have the ability to organize, because you can't organize unless you're a citizen, unless you have rights. If they can call ICE in on you, the moment you open up your mouth or say, I should get 2 pennies a bushel of tomatoes, then they can deport you and deny you even that little bit. And so, you see, it's all a part of the same cloth, all of the philosophies. When Martin Luther King talks about Hegel and he talks about the various philosophies, Marx and Engels, he ends up with one that if you are a Christian, you believe in, that all is love. And Ernesto Che Guevara said it very clearly, very plainly. As quiet as it's kept, and at the risk of sounding foolish. Love is the basic root of strength of a revolutionary. He said it differently. He said it better. This is what Martin Luther King said. This is what Jesus has said. This is what people throughout the ages have said. And what we have to do, without putting it to words, all of those who are listening, we have to act as Reverend Pinckney is acting. And I am counting the days when Reverend Pinckney will be able to run for a political position out in Bering County in Benton Harbor. Bering County is the South. It is in the heart of the South. And every lawyer we called from Detroit and Chicago, so much so that while we were desperately searching for someone to come in and take the case of Reverend Pinckney for free or as an organizational project, the first words out of their mouth were, oh, Bering County, that's bad. So everybody knows where you are. But it matters not where you are. You must be reborn. You must stand up and you must fight. We know how to fight. We see a fighter out there every day. We're not talking about Ernesto Che Guevara in another country. We're not talking about Egypt. We're not talking about Iraq. We're talking about good old USA and the fight that must be made to win any type of decency. I don't like to use the word freedom, because freedom has something is attached to it. If you have freedom and you don't have a job, then well, that's economic freedom. You have freedom, you don't have a home, that's living freedom, living conditions to live peacefully. If you have freedom and you don't have a decent education, all of these things lead that you do not have lead to a slavery of a different name. And so we must get up off of our, or no, stand on our 2 feet. We must raise ourselves up. We must be born again, like Reverend Pinckney, like Lynn Stewart, like so many others, like John Brown, people who sacrificed so much to bring America to this point. We must not let them down. We must remember the ancestors who made the Middle Crossing. We must Middle Passage. We must remember all of the slave revolts, thousands of slave revolts, for this elusive thing of freedom, this elusive thing of justice. So we must not let those who have passed down. They must look down. They must look through the ages to see us fighting. And Reverend Pinckney is leading. And so I'm going to end this with, do what you know is right. It's okay to be afraid, but it's not okay to do nothing in your fear. It is not okay to allow your fear to dominate you. This is what Whirlpool and all of the corporations are looking to. And remember, as I started out, you don't have to talk to those people when they bang on your door. You have to show them your ID. And when they bang on my door and they want to see my ID, I slip the ID under the door and tell them, don't forget to slip it back.
Absolutely, right. You know, I like it.
I don't
want
to talk to you.
And you sound like me.
Put your card under the door, and my attorney will contact you. And this little simple message disarms them. This gives you strength. When they know that you know and you're not going to be used by them to do anything or to say anything against your own best interest, then they know you're in the fight. Then they know you've spoken to somebody. Then they know you have heard Martin. Then they know you have heard Reverend Kingley. And then when they know that, then they will inevitably back off. And so let us join the struggle today. Let us join the struggle of yesterday, doing and being prepared. Get ready. We're throwing these usurpers out of office. But now our day is soon approaching when we put our representative in office. And I believe, Reverend Pinckney, I believe this is why they're after you, so that they can find some charge and say, well, he can't run for 5 more years. Oh, he can't run for 6 more years. Oh, he can't run for 10 more years. Because they know when you run, you're going to win. So let us all begin preparing for that. Let us not wait. Let us begin fundraising. Let us begin petition signing. Let us begin to get it together so that we can have a representative, and it's not dependent on them. It's dependent on us. As my father used to say, when any injustice occurred, he would look up from his newspaper and say to me, and then what did you do? Well, my father's long gone, but I see this situation in Benton Harbor, and I say, and then what are we going to do? I knew what I'm going to do, and I'm going to wait for Mary Neal to tell me what to do. Continue the struggle. Lynn says, LS stands for Lynn Stewart or Love Struggle. Continue, Reverend Pinckney. We're with you.
Hey, appreciate that. Let me ask you a quick question. I went to the courts on Thursday to have them squash this bindover that they had. And once again, this judge, the word around the community, he used to buy crack from a guy in the community. We knew he didn't know what he was doing. We know he don't, when it comes to briefs and stuff like that, he don't know how to write no brief. Matter of fact, none of them know how to write a brief, to be honest with you. And even the prosecutor, he told the prosecutor, ooh, this is a great brief. And then say, I said, you know, I'm laughing, I'm cracking up, you know. And he's looking at me like, you know, what are you laughing at? I'm just cracking up. I'm just smiling. He can't stand it, right? Because I'm supposed to be all sad and upset and stuff. I ain't upset with these creeps because I know who they are. And he comes back, we don't need evidence to bind somebody over for trial. I said, you don't need that. You know, man, we just look, you know, but we don't want to say that. But the sooner they go and dismiss our motion, we can move to the appeal court, get out of Barron County, because that's where we're going to go, because they're all working together. They're all influenced by Whirlpool Corporation. They're all butt kissers. That's what they are. And, you know, you got crackheads, you got them all right there. Walk around here with these black robes on. They should have on black robes. That's what they got on the right thing. They ain't the white sheets no more, but they're the black robes, and that's what they got on. But we put a whooping on them that they'll never forget. And we're going to pound them to show them where we at. But I never heard this before, Ralph.
Yeah.
You don't need evidence to bind somebody over for trial.
Yeah, well, the thing that people can do, never mind them, the thing that we can do is have all eyes on Reverend Pinckney. Every leftist newspaper, every progressive newspaper should be talking about looking at the trial in Benton Harbor with Reverend Pinckney or the state versus Reverend Pinckney. And with that many eyes looking at him, they have to fold before going to the next step because too many people are watching. This is a simple thing we can do. Every newspaper that I'm associated, every group that has a newspaper that I'm associated with has an article on Reverend Pinckney, carries the numbers of Banco in their newspaper. And this is a weapon we have, and we must use it. And when we use it and they see that everybody's looking at them, they will crawl under the nearest rock where they belong because they will know that they have been exposed. It's just too few people were looking. When they put you in jail for quoting Deuteronomy, everyone laughs, and it is, it's not laughable to you. They kept you off the ballot. They put you in jail. They put your family through the ringer. But on the surface, if it weren't real, it would be a funny story. And when people hear it, they say, look out for that Deuteronomy. You know, that's some powerful stuff. You know,
absolutely.
Stuff you're not supposed to be quoting anywhere, not in your private life, not in your church. And Reverend Pinckney's quoting it in the courts. Oh, my goodness. And so, like I said, when you stop laughing, you say, well, it's very serious, and we have to do it, as the blind sheikh says. First, you feel it in your heart. Second, you speak out against it. And third, you raise your fist against it. Well, let's raise our fist against it. Let us start putting these articles in our newspapers. Let us make the phone calls. Let us show up to the demonstrations in Benton Harbor. Let us show up to the court appearances. That's raising your fist because you're putting your person on the line.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ralph, listen, I want everybody to go to change.org and then key in Reverend Pinckney and sign my petition, too. I know you did it already, but send it out again and get folks to sign that baby.
You got that. You must go.
Well, we got almost 300 signatures, but, you know, but that's just a drop in the bucket. We need more.
That's a drop in the bucket. That's, change.org. You got to do that. I think we were, when Lynn finally got out, and even after she got out, the petitions continued to come in. They were 50,000, you know, 45,000.
That's what I'm talking about. We have to get out there and take care of our business and show the folks what we're capable of doing.
Exactly. And I'm encouraging everybody. It's just a click. And if you can't click, you find out, you make a phone call and find out how to write a letter.
Absolutely.
You know,
anyway, Rev, I got to let you go.
Thank you so much, friend. Take care of yourself,
and we'll talk soon.
We will talk soon. We'll be seeing you.
All right, Rev. Don't forget, remind everybody to go to change.org, key and Reverend Pinckney, and sign that petition. Michael Sepik, we want you to resign. He's a low-life gutter rat. On that note, I got to bring in my good friend, my guy, Edward. Are you there? Edward, are you there? Okay, let me move on. Adrian, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing today? I'm hanging in there, you know. I'm just glad to listen to your show today because I'm sitting here and I'm learning a lot because it's true, even how when I was living in Barron County in Benton Harbor court system, denied me and my children our rights to be able to even have, equal protection under the law. When I had to flee from the state, you know, from our home to go to a safe house in Benton Harbor, which my ex-husband, Dr. Tynes, knew where it was at, and he told me he knew where it was at before I went there, and I couldn't understand how he knew where it was at. And at that point, I had got all the kids away from him, including Joshua, because he had kidnapped Joshua from Detroit. October of 2000, when I called the police, he did it in the middle of the night, And I was going in and out of paralysis. I don't know if at that point he had drugged me or not, but I know I have injuries with my neck and spine and head from the auto accident that he told me he meant to maim me when he was driving. And I went through the windshield of the car. So my thing is that when I was able to get all the children away from him, especially Joshua, I saw that my son Joshua was not himself psychologically. I saw that, and people in the safe house saw it as well. And when I went to the safe house, the police officer came there, and he had subpoenaed me to show up in court, you know, because I had left him because of abuse that he was doing, continuously, ongoing. And I think it was a legal advocate, she had said the police officer is not supposed to say to you what he said to you. He had said to me, you know, he has a very good attorney. You better make sure that you show up in court. And I said, well, if I had no intentions of showing up in court, I wouldn't have, you know, did the things that I did. I made, you know, preparations to leave him and everything, because when people don't know, he's on the surface behaving as if he's a quality minister, a good doctor and everything. I was in the house on one occasion in St. Joseph, Michigan, and I couldn't move. I couldn't get up. I was paralyzed from my neck down again. In St. Joseph, Michigan, and he just stood over me, my ex-husband, Dr. Times, and he laughed. He said, you're just about ready for disability, and if you keep your mouth closed and obey me, you could be the first lady. And, you know, I just prayed and kept praying for to be able to get up off that floor for my spine to start, you know, functioning right. And it took a while, and I was able to get up off the floor, and then I had called the protective services, and I called the police, and everything just flipped back around on me because of the influences that he have in the system. And they never did, you know, give us any type of fairness. Even a social worker in Benton Harbor CPS department said they're not dealing with your case properly. And the attorney, Patrick Murphy, out there, he had told me, he said, they're not addressing this case properly. They're not supposed to ignore the things that they're ignoring with your case. And I'm listening to a lot of other cases where, you know, some women go for certain things like that, where they're not giving people the justice and the fairness sense that they need. My ex-husband, Dr. Tynes, he portrays himself as being an activist also. When we had to go to see a psychologist, Dr. Jesse Bell, in 1995, after our daughter Camille, when she was 4 and a half, stated that he molested her, and I told the psychologist. And the way that my ex-husband behaved in there in front of him, we were separated. It was like he was a crazy man. He was saying how he was this activist, and he's not afraid of what he could do, and he's not afraid of how he may try to take medicine from him. He had just graduated from medical school, I believe, at that time. And he was saying, I have big money. I don't need medicine. I already got big money. And the psychologist, Dr. Jesse Dale, he was trying to talk to him to ask him, have you ever been molested yourself, Dr. Tynes? And he just started laughing and just really behaving very sexually inappropriate and right in front of the doctor's face. And I couldn't understand why the doctor didn't document like he should have. We were in his office, his home, actually, in the attic in Palmer Woods off of 7 Mile in Detroit, where the big, nice homes are at. And he behaved such, you know, in such an arrogant, godlike behavior. He ran up on him, got aggressive with him, got in his face to try to harass and intimidate him, and I was so embarrassed because I never had seen that side of him, how he lost and how he was talking very inappropriately. And I was glad how the psychologist didn't back down. But it's amazing how the court knows that he deprived me and my children of our human rights, our constitutional rights, our liberties. And my ex-husband knows all of this. He's very aware. He's very connected. He studies history. He's a historian. He even keep up with the FBI reports, the police reports, and he injected himself into the investigation and, you know, used his DR status to, you know, make him look as if he was somebody upstanding. But now that I know more about Benton Harbor, you know, and Barron County, how corrupt they are out there, you know, it's amazing how they just have so much hatred in them. I think it was yesterday I met these two individuals. One was, he said, was a former politician, and one lady was a school teacher. And it was amazing how I was listening to them, how they talk about Indians, anyone that was of color, and they were saying that that how they're uneducated and how they know that they haven't, you know, received what they needed to receive, but yet it was the way they were talking about people of color, it was in a really, to me, a negative way. And when I listened to them and I spoke to them, I said, why do you think Detroit is in the shape that it's in right now? And they looked at each other and said, oh, we don't know. I said, why do you think the people rioted? You know, what do you think that's about? And the way that they were talking, they were speaking in a way of as if, you know, no person of color ever tries to get an education. No person of color tries to, you know, do a lot of things. And, you know, and I forgot. I wasn't thinking. I could have spoke to them and told them, you know, slaves built this nation. So, you know, actually the people that you're talking about didn't get the fairness that they needed for many years. And to state that, you know, people of color may not strive or try to work hard or whatever, that's, you know, that's not true in many sense. It's just there are a lot of blocks. And one of my counselors told me when I was in the safe house when I was living in, well, when I was in St. Joseph, Michigan, and I went to a safe house in Niles, Michigan from Benton Harbor Safe House. And my counselor was telling me, she said, you know, you are one of the women that break barriers. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, you don't back down. You fight all the way. And I've been like that all of my life since I was a child. You know, if I've seen something that wasn't going right, even as young as 4 years old, I was ready to, you know, actually fight it out with these two 15-year-old twins that were trying to dominate, get into our backyard, and they were too old to play with the kids of our age. And I heard them speak something negative against my mom. And I jumped off the top of my porch to the bottom and stood up to him and said, you know, don't talk about my mother. I'm 4 years old, saying this to these big girls. And they laughed at each other, but I've always been that way since I was a kid, not to, you know, back down. Even if something went wrong in my family, I was always the first to say, I don't agree with that. That's wrong. You know, even if my parents were doing something that I felt was not right, I would always talk to them in respect, but I would always say, that's not right that you're letting such and such do this. That's wrong. So from the very beginning, you know, I've learned that, you know, to stand up against somebody, a lot of times people don't want to hear the truth, and a lot of times people don't want to deal with the truth. And most people who know me, when they get to know me, they're always saying, even the guys I used to work with when I was a lifeguard, because I used to swim, and the guys would say to me at 17, 18 years old, you act like my grandmother. Why are you always standing up, talking up, and telling us where we're wrong at? And I said, well, if I see you doing something wrong or you're inappropriate with a young girl or whatever, I'm going to speak up. And they said, well, you're 17. Why aren't you like the other girls that's out here, you know, ripping and running, trying to flirt? And I said, that's not the way I am, you know. So my thing is that I'm glad I've learned more about how the system operates. And it really blew me away when several social workers had told me that the system was corrupt, and I was naive in the beginning when my case started, telling them, I said, no, why would a judge want to, you know, put somebody in danger or hurt somebody? There's no way. And they got angry with me and actually cursed me out and said, you don't understand. We work in the system. We know how corrupt the court system is. They will lie on the person and destroy their entire lives. And I couldn't understand why someone who didn't know you could do something like that. But it is a system that's put in place. What's the guy named Ralph that just went off for Edward?
Ralph Corner.
Yeah, that creates slavery. And what people don't understand, you are enslaved when you're under somebody oppressing you, controlling you, manipulating you and stuff. You are enslaved with that. And if they're not, if they're in a position to help you, to open your eyes, to go in the right direction, then do it. And that's the type of person I've always been. Even my father has said to me, you're the type of person that will actually come out here and create change and actually are for the people. He said, but the world don't work like that. You got to do favors for a person. And it's just, I've always had this in me, and a lot of people hate my guts when I stand for what's right. If you're my friend and I see that you're not doing something right and I try to talk to you, and you want me to go along with doing wrong, I won't do it. And people get extremely angry with me, and then they'll try to do things to hurt me or to put me in a position to, you know, cause me to fall or just sabotage me as a person. And a lot of times I don't have the knowledge that they have on how to deal with it, but I will speak up, you know, and I will say something. So my thing is that I'm really grateful for hearing all this information and knowing what's going on, and that helps to equip a person better in how to fight the situation.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, but you know, you actually lived in this area. You kind of like know some of the stuff that's happening here. And we speak of judges. You know, they all, you know, we got like Judge Wiley, a known alcoholic, sleazeball, just been censored by the judicial committee. We got this guy, Posada, a known crackhead, according to this one guy, said he's a real crackhead because he used to buy crack from him. So, we got it all down here. We got stuff, you know, they just like everybody else walking the streets. Unfortunately, they get paid for what they do. They get paid to hurt people. They get paid to destroy people's lives. And that's what unless we fight back, it's going to continue. So, listen, you got about 30 seconds to say whatever you want, and then I got to move on. But tell us what you want us to know. And thank you so much for signing my petition. I appreciate that. I don't understand why more people are not signing that petition. Change.org, just key in Reverend Pinckney, and it'll come up and sign the petition. To me, it's so simple. Go right ahead.
I sent the information out to everyone who I know that I have on my email list. And the people that I met yesterday, this former politician and this school teacher, you know, I was telling them about your radio show and to listen to it. And if they are willing to be a part of helping to cause, you know, the situation to change, be willing to do it. I gave them the number. I gave the information to an attorney that I know, a civil attorney, that know about the injustice that went on in my case. And he tried to go back to Benton Harbor. Well, he actually went back to Benton Harbor 3 years ago to try to reopen it. And Judge Nelson Thompson ignored everything and said, well, it's too late. But when you commit serious crimes, you commit fraud upon the court like my ex-husband did, it's never too late. And it caused a lot of destruction in my life, my children's life, and I want to put a stop to it. And I'm trying to still get to somebody in the position of authority, to like a congressperson, to look into this to get some type of movement going forward.
All right. Hey, that's wonderful. Listen, I want you to take good care of yourself, and we will talk to you soon. All right, now, let's bring on my good friend Edward. Edward, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney.
I tried to bring you on before, but unfortunately you wasn't there.
I was there, and I heard you, and I did something and touched the phone. I messed up everything. Oh, my goodness.
All right. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, and the young lady that was just talking, the way to move forward is she has to file paperwork in court as many times as it takes to get the right results. So she can file her own paperwork and appear on herself. She doesn't have to pay anybody to do anything. Just keep putting in the paperwork to court to prove fraud. She's right about one thing. Fraud carries no time limit, just like murder carries no time limit. Neither does fraud.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, I was in court on Thursday, and once again, the judge echoed, hey, we don't need no evidence to bond him over for trial. Never heard of it.
And who is that?
They're actually saying that down here. You don't need evidence. What are we going to do with some stinking evidence?
The grand jury. Who said that?
That's what the judge said on Thursday.
Yeah, well, the truth is they're allowed to make up evidence against the citizen.
Mm-hmm.
That is owned, it means, citizen. And these attorneys, like I told you, that the word attorney is attorney, comes from French. And as I've been told, it means to one that deceives. So now, they're all
mm-hmm.
working on the same side. And whether they're your attorney or the other attorney, it's all one bar, one club, one UK that they belong to. The bar is part of the UK. It's not part of the United States, by the way. Did you know that, people? Think about that one for a second. Holy cow, you mean to tell me all these liars running around, as they pronounce them in the UK, are really belonging to the organization that's under the UK? They have a dual citizenship. Really? Ooh-wee. And they got a lot to hide in taxes, let me tell you. They don't like being audited, but they all have two sets of books. Not very funny. So don't let them pull the wool over your eyes. Don't let them just do whatever they want them to. One thing I found out about hiring an attorney years ago, don't do what they want you. Make them do what you want them to, period.
Mm-hmm.
Period,
mm-hmm.
Period, period. You want to get paid, you do what I ask you to do and do it
right. That's
right. Otherwise, you don't get nothing, honest to goodness. You know that I wondered, Reverend Pinckney, why we don't have a national boycott. You know, this is a big thing. Sounds really big. Against chemtrails. Did you ever watch the movie about what in the world are they spraying that Ed Griffin paid for? He's the one that wrote the books on Jekyll Island and the videos. And, you know, he's famous, Ed Griffin. If you ever seen him, you'll know who he is. You recognize his face.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he backed the documentary also afterwards. Why in the world are they spraying? First, an hour and change, what in the world are they spraying? That it's killing all the redwood forests and the trees, the barks coming off of the palm trees in Hawaii and the Black Sea, all those big trees. They're spraying the chemicals, nanoparticle aluminum, strontium, barium, on us. Did you ever see them all these long exhausts? They're not exhausts from airplanes. Those aren't exhausts, and they're not contrails, which are 2, 3, 4 times the length of the airplane, and they dissipate. That's an exhaust. These are deliberate sprayings for specific reasons, and they have their reasons for sure. And I've studied this for quite a long time. And the truth is that why in the heck would anybody in their right mind, would you spray your family with nanoparticle aluminum?
Absolutely not.
How about strontium? Why don't you just spray it over the baby's crib?
No.
Your grandchildren. Why don't you just, you know, take some barium and sprinkle it into the salad? What's really going on here? Huh?
Absolutely not.
Why, in anyone's right mind, would they be doing this to us in every city of the country and no one can do anything about stopping it? What's going on here? Why are they poisoning us like this, and why is the rate of illnesses up and up and up in areas they're spraying heavy? I have reports that are showing demonstrative differences when they're spraying that stuff. You cannot breathe it in, already have asthma, and start breathing in nanoparticles. You want to do it, Reverend Pinckney?
No, I'm good.
Okay, so now how do you get it out of your body after they've done this to us? Right now they're doing it to us. No one's been able to stop it. They filmed this documentary in Congress, in the hallways, put everybody's faces on it. They don't know anything about it either. Nobody knows anything about it. They're all playing stupid. They use military planes to do it, okay? And they're using it to spray into the man-made clouds that take some 20 seconds with rocket engines and all over the country. They make their own clouds and then, you know, sprinkle some of that nanoparticle aluminum in there, and then they can use frequency to do something. They manipulate them. Manipulate those clouds into whatever they want, okay? And huge storms that never appeared like that before. Now they make these huge storms, multi-state storms all at the same time. But how do you get that stuff out of your body? You personally, me personally. We walk outside, we see them spraying overhead. Okay. All right, so we don't drop dead, we don't fall on the floor, but it's affecting us. This stuff it has to be affecting our health. And it accumulates, just like the mercury in the corn syrup. Why aren't people boycotting corn syrup as well? 50% of it has mercury in it. It accumulates. I know I sound redundant, but how do you get it out of your body so it doesn't, the accumulative effect doesn't affect your health and take years off your life and take your pleasure out of life because now you are sick and you can't even enjoy your own breath. You can't even enjoy anything in your life because you have these toxins in your body that need to come out, heavy metals, we call them. Well, I use bentonite clay. I drink it all the time. My friends drink it all the time. My family, my grandchildren. My son reminded me 2 years ago they'd never been sick more than 4 or 5 hours, Reverend Pinckney. They've had it since their baby bottles. Bentonite clay. Sounds like, ew, what's that? Well, when you take it internally, it has the most amazing effect on the body beyond anything. Every case of herpes I've gotten rid of with bentonite clay and the gout, too. By drinking it and using it topically, it just goes away. Doctors can't get rid of it for a lifetime. They use medications. It's all garbage. The way you get rid of disease in the body is to pull out everything that you don't want that's causing it. There you go. Now that's using your noodle. Honest to God. If you pull it out with a magnet that doesn't pass through your blood, now you detox the body without having to go through your blood so you don't get tired. You don't get, like, you know, arrhythmias, you know, if you have a weak heart from poisons that go into your blood when you're flushing them out. No, there's another way to do it. I know more than one way to do it, but this one works, simple, inexpensive, and it changes people's lives. It's amazing how much dysfunctional health you reverse with just a couple of different things, Reverend Pinckney. You remember me telling you about that magnesium ozone? Well, what it does is it completely loosens up your bowels and cleans out everything. Well, the clay does also, but it just does it in another way. You ever see people that are way, way overweight?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Well, go ask them if they are having bowel movements 3 times a day, like their meals, 3 to 5 times a day. They're having snacks, too. They'll tell you no. How about once every 3 days, pencil thin? Oh, yeah, I run into them all the time. That's the first thing I ask a person when I am reversing, helping them, teach them quickly and easily how to reverse every type of dysfunctional health. What are your bowel movements like? We must have them 3 to 5 a day. You got to be completely free of all that, whatever you put in your body. And you know all that buildup in your colon? When they cut John Wayne's colon open after he died of colon cancer, which is one of the leading causes of death, which is the easiest one to reverse, by the way. Do you know colon cancer is the easiest cancer for me to reverse? I'll show you how. You use an ozone generator, medical grade, with a rectal insufflation. I'll show you how to reverse colon cancer without ever cutting your colon out. It's wrong. The whole thing is wrong. They lie about everything. If they don't cut you, they don't make money. Cut and poison. That's their business. So basically, if you want to reverse the colon cancer yourself, you can do it like that. I use, and that's advanced colon cancer. I'm talking about advanced colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a simple little ozone generator and a rectal insufflation, and you pump the ozone gas through the rectum, and it completely reverses the cancer. You can also use it to reverse just about any disease, actually. In Europe, they only have ozone clinics. Did you know that? They don't have any cut and poison first-line practitioners that they go to there like they do here in the United States. It's not the same thing. Everybody goes to ozone clinics to reverse everything. Did you know that?
Mm-mm. I didn't know that.
It reverses AIDS 97 to 100%. Ozone, what I use is magnesium with ozone bonded to it, large amounts of ozone. It lasts about 15 to 18 hours. So I take it once in the morning and once at night, and I'm ozonating my body to the max. Do you know what ozone, what happens to it when you put it in your digestive tract? It turns to hydrogen peroxide.
I don't have a clue. Talk to me.
It changes to hydrogen peroxide in your digestive tract. Do you know what your immune system is made up of? Good bacteria, right? Do you know what it puts out to get rid of toxins in your body and bad bacteria? Hydrogen peroxide. Wait a second. Didn't I just say that ozone, when you put it into your digestive tract, changes to hydrogen peroxide? Well, that would make it the same thing as powerful immune system. Oh, really? And you wonder why my grandchildren haven't been sick more than 4 or 5 hours their whole lives, and I have 7 of them here in Oklahoma. Only one's a girl. The rest of them are all boys. And they didn't give me any great-grandchildren yet, but I'm waiting. That's going to be the best. Now, I'll tell you the truth. The magnesium with ozone, I take it regularly. some days I don't take it, and I put lots. I have shakes every day, and I put the liquid clay in the eye that I make up in advance in half-gallon and gallon bottles. Why do I take it? Because it keeps me very young. Gets rid of all the toxins I might be taking in by mistake from whatever vegetables I'm getting from the supermarkets, from whatever is coming in the foods that I eat by mistake, or maybe not by mistake. Maybe I'm just doing the wrong thing. You're not going to eat perfect. You still got to clean out perfect. I don't care. You can cook anything in those pots. You still got to wash them out. It doesn't really matter. Oh, and by the way, here's a good tip. Every time I steam or boil any of vegetables on the lowest flame possible, always boil your vegetables. Don't overheat them. You kill some of the enzymes. So I drink all the juice. A lot of times I'll pour it in with a funnel into a, you know, a half-gallon plastic bottle, stick it in the refrigerator, wait until it gets cold and drink it like that. Not kidding, Reverend Pinkney. I really do that.
Mm.
And if you eat more, less of what has eyes and a mother, you'll find that a lot of your sickness goes away. You want your diabetes to go away. Well, I'll show you what to eat. Put in your blender to make it go away. But lay off all the animal products and the cheese. It'll be gone in just a matter of maybe 4 weeks. You'll see a tremendous reversal if you do what I show you to do. It's very simple. This is not rocket science. You remember the saying, if the definition of insanity... Reverend,
yeah, go ahead.
The definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting any different results. Okay, so you've got to make a little bit of change, but you'll become a believer as soon as you experience what it does. Do you know what I did today and all the last few weeks? Something special, okay? People walking into my daughter's store that I've been babysitting. It's a beautiful place, but here goes. They're coming in pain. Couples and everything with pain, like you can't believe, Reverend Pinkney. And they've had it for a long time, some of them. And I tell them, I get 9 out of 10 people out of pain within seconds to minutes with these little devices that all look like Band-Aids, and I can put them on your clothing. Unless they're real loose-fitting your clothing, and then I'll ask you to roll it up so I can put it right on the spot that I want to get rid of the pain. And within seconds to minutes, 9 out of 10 of them, I get them out of pain. I haven't been missing at all lately, every single one of them. And their jaws hit the floor. You should see the expressions on their face and what they say to me. They tell me, this is amazing. Imagine a man, you can't even touch below his knee with your fingers. And he can't bend. He tried to pull his leg up from behind him, you know, when you hold your ankle and you pull it up to your waist. Like, he couldn't even bend it at all. And all of a sudden now he's pulling it all the way up, telling me that he couldn't bend it before, and that he's touching below his knee where his wife touched 2 days ago.
And interesting.
The pain was excruciating just from her touching it, and now he can't make it happen?
Absolutely. Wow. Hey, Ellen, you got 2 minutes to finish this up. Go and finish it up, and then I got to move on. Hey, did you get a chance to sign my petition yet?
Let's talk later anyway. Let's talk later. Listen, do you know what it feels like? For me, when these people say to me, I'm not in any pain at all on a scale of 1 to 10, are you kidding me? It blows my mind and theirs. Their mind is blown, and this is what I do all the time. Can you imagine being me? I reverse so much different dysfunctional health. It's amazing. Give me a call if you like at 818-613-9206. Ross should call me. I'll show her how to reverse that spray from the school system, how to get that out of her lungs. It's real simple. This isn't rocket science, and it works. And there's no side effects on anything. Go to the website. Go read some of the testimonials. You'll be so amazed. ABC Health, H-E-A-L-T-H, abchealth.info. Put your name and your email address in, and it'll give you back a free ebook on the history of bentonite clay, a beautiful book, very informative. And you'll get a newsletter free, and you'll have opportunity for live conference calls and huge discounts on the bentonite. Again, it's been fun talking on your show, Reverend Pinkney. And let's get the number one thing, get in good health first and get out the heavy metals out of your body. I don't care if you are being targeted or not being targeted. Actually, I do care, because we're all being targeted by the chemtrails and the genetically modified foods and the rest of the stuff they're going to unleash on us. Soon they're going to unleash everything on us. Everything. Protect yourself with fentanyl play. Okay?
All right, Edward. Hey, good go. So those of you out there, give Edward a call at 818-613-9206. That's Edward. Talk to him. See what he can do for you. On that note,
I love you.
All right, love you too, my brother. Love you too. Do keep up the great work that you're doing. Appreciate you so much. I tell you, it's that time. It's time for the target individuals, the TIs, who are making big progress. The key word is sticking together, not fighting among yourself, doing the things that need to be done. We can win this battle. Remember, it's more of us than them. But in order to get it done, we have to learn to work together. We must learn to fight together. We must learn to stand together. On that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend from Philadelphia, I believe, or Pennsylvania, I should say, my good friend, Gloria. Gloria, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinkney.
How are you doing today?
I'm exhausted. I came home yesterday from California, so I'm trying to get my 3 hours straight, but I'm here.
All right, that's what I want to hear. I heard you had a great time in Richmond, California.
Oh, Reverend Pinkney, it never stopped. We did a documentary out there. After the Juneteenth program, Sister Amy got a call from the captain or the chief of police and said, I think I have a targeted individual here for you, and gave the woman's number. So we are waking up people. They are coming out of this hypnosis. You know, we're dealing with witchcraft and sorcery, so we just have to stay at it. But Reverend Pinkney, I'm going to revisit a story I did a while ago, and I think I'm going to read off the five articles I have here, just the captions of it, and then I'll read Torture in the United States.
Go right ahead.
Indiana police officer found fatally shot in patrol car. It was unclear if Westerfield was specifically targeted in the shooting, local officials said during a news conference. Number two, Indianapolis officer dies after alley gun battle. Second man arraigned in Michigan and toddlers slain. This was a two-year-old little girl that they slayed. Priest kills a nun. And then the last story, the most recent, was California Highway Patrol beat a black grandmother repeatedly on the side of the highway. And you can go to YouTube and look that up and see it. And if that doesn't make you stand up and fight, nothing will. But what I'm going to read is Torture in the United States. So this is their agenda. Torture in the United States includes documented and alleged cases of torture both inside the United States and outside its borders by the United States personnel. This includes the United States government, 50 U.S. states and territorial governments, 3,033 counties, and thousands of municipal governments, all of which have their own independent judicial systems. All are subject to the U.S. Constitution and their own state constitutions. While the term torture is defined in numerous places, including dictionaries and encyclopedias of various nations or cultures, this article only addresses the legal definition of the term under codified and case law of the United States of America. After the U.S. dismissed United Nations concerns about torture in 2006, one U.K. judge observed, America's idea of what torture is does not appear to coincide with that of most civilized nations. A two-year study by a U.S. independent group concluded that it was indisputable that U.S. forces had employed torture as well as cruel, inhumane, or degrading treatment in many interrogations, that the nation's most senior officials bear ultimate responsibility for allowing and continuing the spread of these techniques, and that there is substantial evidence that information obtained by these methods was neither useful nor reliable. Torture is illegal and punishable within U.S. territorial bounds. Now, Reverend Pinckney, the last article I read, I was in California when I saw that happen. It was on the news. It was, I don't think you'll be able to watch the whole thing very peacefully. There was a woman walked out of the woods, no shoes on, and the officer told her to stop because she was going to walk across the highway. He said to her again, stop. Stop where you are. Well, maybe she could not hear. Who knows? Before you know it, he had her down on the ground, and he was punching her. He was punching her like he was working out on a punching bag. And his captain said, well, we're going to have to find out what she did to lead up to this. I don't care what she did or said. There was no reason that woman should have laid on the ground and was beaten the way she was. Thank you for listening.
All right. All right. That's interesting. Hey, did you get a chance to sign my petition?
Now, you know I signed that petition, Reverend Pinckney.
I just want to make sure. Listen,
yes,
I want you to send it out to Amy now so Amy now can sign it.
Yes, I sure will. But
all right. Thank you there, young lady. You know me. I'm always checking up.
I know you are.
All right, all right. Hey, I can't say no more than that. Hey, I appreciate you so much, Glory. Just keep up the great work.
All right, thank you. It's a pleasure.
All right, now we'll talk to you very, very soon.
All right, free the land.
All right, that's what we're saying. There it is. All right, hey, I tell you, you know, that's some great information. And we think about, you know, people being targeted by our government, some of the things that they be doing to people. And people won't, you know, people just, you know, if it's not happening to you, most of the time you don't believe it's happening. But I tell you, I wouldn't put nothing past this government, nothing. Those of you who are out there, you better wake up. There are more than 2 million people that's being targeted by this government, one way or another. And listen, we have to stand up and fight back. Until we learn to fight back, they're going to continue to do this. They got people right now who's working against you, and they're targeted, and they don't even know it. But we got to continue to maintain, continue to do the things that need to be done, and make sure that we stay focused and do not get sidetracked, because that's the most important thing. And the word is more of us than them. Once we get that through our big heads, then we will take a stand and keep educating people, because we got so many people who are unconscious. They're not even conscious of what's happening around them. But listen, we must learn to fight back, stand up to these people, and do what needs to be done. Remember, you could be next under mind control. On that note, let me bring in Elvira. Elvira, you there?
Elvira. Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
Speak up then.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yes, I'm here.
All right. All right.
It's a pleasure, Reverend Pinckney, to be on the show. But
hey.
What I want to talk about is the mental health, you know, and what they're doing to people, and why you are everybody should be very interested in this case. I don't know why I've seen nobody ill, but that's okay too, because what God intends, no man can put asunder. And what's happening is, see, the mental health, they stepped in on every bit of medical treatment I try to get. And they put these tattoos on me of mental health. This time, a couple of months ago, they put the schizophrenia. And it's causing me where I can't get my medical physical treatment. Now, ask yourself, if just because somebody say you are crazy or disordered in your head, does that mean that you cannot? You are not allowed to get the medical treatment that you need. I cannot think right. I cannot come up with the words that I really need to have, because when they spray me with this chemical, it gets on my brain and all my organs, and it makes it very difficult for me to speak, especially when I really need to do so. And so what I'm going to do, I'm just going to keep trying to put my voice out there and keep hope alive and hope that someone see what's happening here and help me expose these mental health doctors and the doctors that is going along with them. And also my union. I worked at a local 11 in California, Los Angeles. 10 years I worked there. Beverly Hills, all through Hilton, all that. And this is what I'm getting for my pension. $19. I'm going to say $20 to give or take. $20 a month for my pension. So they stole my pension. The state of Florida paid me off in 2008. And it was my cousin who was the president of the NAACP at the time, him and his sister, who wrote the letter for me because they know that they've been keeping me homeless and they couldn't find me at an address. So they called me on my phone and said, you won your case. What do you want? You have to put it in writing. Well, I got my cousin to do that for me. He, like I said, he was president of the NAACP. He wrote the letter for me. I have proof of that. The letter. I even sent it to you, Reverend Pinckney. And Yanny, she was just out of Senator Bill Nelson's office, and Todd, who's out of Dan Del Martinez, now Rubio's office. When I called in, it's like I'm a game. Oh, they laugh. I don't blame them for laughing because really I don't have the verbiage that I need, the words, the correct words, and I don't talk the way that I need to talk when I'm dealing with these people. And it seems that the educated has no, it's like poor for the disenfranchised. It seems like there's just no room in that category for us. But that was another thing that I was out there doing that got me to where I am now. I was out there trying to teach the poor how to help themselves, and lo and behold, I couldn't see what was coming for me. And the homelessness, I am so tired of being homeless. Right now I had to put myself what I thought was an elder care place, you know, thinking they can help me get to the doctors and get my medical treatment and stuff like that. But this is just a house that someone take elderly people into, and the families, if you have a family, if you don't, you have to creak without a paddle, which you might as well say, I don't have one. As you can see, what my cousin did when the state of Florida paid me off. They didn't give me one dime, and then my cousin put me out on the streets. I was very sick. I was sicker than what I am right now. But he put me out in the streets homeless, and in 08, September the 4th, landed on Labor Day. It land on Labor Day every 10 years on my birthday, and it just so happened to do it then. And I'm just praying that somebody hear my voice and come and help me reach out and touch and expose these doctors before it gets too late. It reminds me of Hitler. And then the more, every time I have to go see a new doctor, that's more and more doctors and mental health that's being, you know, in this quagmire. Their circle of getting larger while ours are getting smaller. Maybe somebody else out there watching, but they're not doing anything about this situation. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, I'm losing everything. I'm losing my sight. I'm losing my teeth. I'm losing my hair, my skin. I have to use a cuticle, you know, a nail cuticle, do your cuticles of your nails with, where stuff hits my skin, and it makes my skin like pillow, hard. So I have to use on my fingers and the back of my heels and my elbows, and I have to use that to scrape stuff off of my skin. Mm. And I think that is very sad. And it's on my chest. It looks like a polka dot. You can play checkers on it. Maybe not, because there's too many dots on it to play checkers. Maybe you could find some other game you can play there. Anyway, alive and keep and pray that someone hears my voice and someone see the importance of this. And then get this: when I go to around the homes that's on the beaches and stuff like that, this toxin is worse there than it is inland. it seemed like they for the rituals, you know, like you're going out on the beach to those homes. I mean, when I go there, not only do I get the burns on my skin, I also blood comes up in my skin too, as well, and I bleed. So we have to do. Somebody need to stand up and come out with this stuff because it's all in our hospitals. It's in the schools where you're sending your children to. Now, we need to do something. Stand up and start some kind of something about this chemical spraying and stuff on the people. What are they gonna spray next? You know what I'm saying? They spraying this and this. Really, they've been spraying me for years. You can tell by your jewelry, especially if you wear gold or silver. And you're constantly cleaning it. That means you are getting sprayed. So thank you all for listening, and thank you, Reverend Pinkney, for giving me such time, this amount of time to speak. But I'm just, you know, I get weaker. The more I talk, the weaker I get, especially after something like this happens to me. And it causes me headaches.
Hey, well, listen, you just take care of yourself. Have you signed my petition yet?
Well, I've been waiting for you to send it to me because,
you just go to change.org and key in Reverend Pinkney and sign it. That's real simple.
Well,
change.org, and then just key in Reverend Pinkney and sign the petition.
I would get even more people to sign it.
I just want you to sign it. Don't worry about that. I want you to sign it. Go change.org, Reverend Pinkney. That's all you need to do, and sign it. I'm going to be looking for it.
Yes, sir. I will try.
All right. Do what you can. And listen, you take care of yourself.
Somebody get through it for me.
All right.
I will. It will.
God bless you now. All right, now it's time to go out to beautiful California where the sun is shining and there's plenty of light. I tell you out there, it's been amazing. I tell you, every single day you got to fight for what's right. They got us surrounded. We have to circle the wagons to show these people who we really are. You've been teaching all your life, and yet they're trying to destroy you. What kind of mess is that? But it's okay if we don't say anything about it. Here we got the court system in Benton Harbor with Whirlpool. Whirlpool is behind everything that destructive that happened in this country. It might be time that we do something different. It's time that maybe the revolution need to come. It's time that we need to show them what we're not going to take this mess anymore. It's time that we do something, and we need to do it right away. We cannot sit around and wait and allow them to continue to pounce on us. Because before we know it, everybody will be behind barbed wire. But I tell you this much, we must fight. Stand up and fight. If you don't want to fight for yourself, fight for your children. That's what you need to fight for. If you don't want to do it for yourself, stand up and fight for your children. That's what it's all about. Because we need to show these folks it's time that we take a stand. And I got good news for yesterday. The sheriff's department was over at Mayor James Hightower House. We don't know what they were there for. By the time I got there, the sheriff was gone. But unfortunately, you know, what goes around kind of like comes around nowadays. So we'll find out more before the week is out, because that sleazeball is on his way out. Also, another recall has been filed against him. Right now, within 3 days, they got almost 300 signatures. They are on top of it. They want to have a total of 800 signatures within the next 2-3 weeks. So we're fighting. We're standing up for what's right, doing the things that need to be doing, and we're going to continue to fight this battle, and the best part about it, we're going to win it. We're going to make sure that we have enough signatures so the sheriff's department can come out again. Because, matter of fact, we're going to keep them busy for the next 10 years if we have to. And with or without me, it's going to happen. So now, you people out there, the best way to fight these folks, we're going to make them fight. They spent 5 months out investigating the recall petition of Mayor Hightower. We're going to make them do it 5 more months. That's how we're going to deal with that. So we're on top of it, just doing the things that need to be done, staying focused and not getting sidetracked and moving straight ahead. So let's do what we do, stand up, and fight. That's what it's all about. On that note, let me bring in my good friend, my girl, Roz. Roz, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm so blessed to be here. And I'm going to tell everybody I'm sending out love, hugs, and blessings, that we are going to unite together no matter what our color is. And all those people that put down black people, you know how disgusting I think that is. And I'm going to say it on the radio so everybody hears it. We're going to stand up united in love and take back this country. The corruption, the death of people, the whore doctors, as they call them, that just want to make a buck off a report or off of a medical procedure. We want these people gone. We want the elected officials that are only there for the money to be gone. Look at the schools, Los Angeles Unified School District. They kill injured teachers. What is that? It's an educational institution. They buy iPads for millions and billions of dollars that aren't even all together with the parts or all the educational programs, and they're for the students, and they're dumbing down our students. They're all our students. They're yours. Students, they're your grandchildren, they're your children. It doesn't matter what color they are. We need to bless them. We need to educate them. This dumbing down of this whole country, everybody should be so scared saying, I'm not going to take this anymore. Put on your war mentality. See the truth. Now we have children coming in through the borders that are taking over our country while the president goes on three fundraisers. You all should be so upset that this is going on. We need to take back this great country, whether it's so imperfect, but have you been to the other countries, how terrible they are? I am so sorry what everybody is going through. The court systems are so bad, no matter what color you are, if you're going through a divorce, if you're going through a business deal, if you're going through workers' comp, that they're killing people. They have judges that have diminished capabilities. They don't even know what they're doing. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they make up doctors' medical diagnosis. Look at my workers' comp case. I taught for years. I have a master's degree. I've been to about 8 different or maybe 10 different educational institutions of universities, colleges. When I got hurt, they couldn't call the paramedics. When I was sprayed with toxic chemicals, they refused to call the paramedics. I have lung damage. I have toxic fibromyalgia. My health is getting worse. They don't pay me. I'm losing my home. I'm having an open house today. I've worked so hard. That's so important, to work and to be in charge of your own life, not the government telling you what to do.
Hey, you're right on point, Roz. You're right on point, and you said it all. We got the government controlling every move we make and trying to take as much money as possible from you. So we have to figure out a way what we're going to do. See, one of the things that gets me, see, government is ran by the people, for the people. So until we learn and understand that, it's been reversed now. Now it's ran for these elected officials. And the Whirlpool corporations and the all the corporations around the country, General Motors, Ford Motors, and Chrysler, and Halliburton, all these other people, they're the one controlling this country. The people no longer controls this country. It's a case where government and the corporations have merged, and fascism is here. It's here, Roz. Regardless of what happened, it's here. And it's knocking on everybody's door. And that's exactly what's happening today.
Exactly. And people don't realize it. I was a hostage in Iran in 1978, not 1979. I had constant death threats. I spoke up because I didn't want my children to die. The plane came in and eventually 40,000 Americans got out. I'm an American war hero. Didn't expect that to happen, and everybody out there who is speaking up is a war hero. We're in a war. You should all be so scared. You need to stand up together. You need to educate each other. You need to educate the children out there. As I keep saying, whatever your gift, whatever your talent, we need to respect you, and you need to teach the students, the adults out there, the children for this better country. There is more of us than them, and we just keep watching it as they're taking over. I want my country back. The 4th of July just passed. Look at all the veterans, all the men and women who've served us. Thank you, all of you out there, for giving us this great country. We need to take it back. They're killing the veterans. Can you imagine that? They can't give them the right medicine, the right doctor's appointments. They let them die on the floor there. They can't send an ambulance for them. They're killing me. I was a teacher. Schools killing teachers. Veterans killing teachers. Our government destroying people. They can't even speak up in Washington, D.C. and saying, the hell with this. We need to stop it. We need to take back our country together. And we can do it. We put God back. This country was founded under God. We need to put God back. We need to stand together. We need to become colorblind. We need to become compassionate and caring and loving people and caring about each other. And we can do it. I believe it. We have God with us. We don't need anybody else if we stand together. And everybody out there knows, black, white, Latino, how disgusting our court system is. Everybody knows how our elected officials lie. Everybody knows that the school systems have more money than they think God has, and they're destroying the education of our children. They're destroying the teachers. These unions are destroying the teachers. They don't even stand up for them at all. All of us need to come together. And Reverend Pinckney, you have stood up in Benton Harbor, and we need to stand with you. Each one of us needs to be the person who's standing, the hero. We need to have more heroes across America. It takes nothing to stand up and make a phone call and say, I don't like it. Can you imagine 10, 100 people calling every day saying we need it stopped? We need people going to the polls and voting these people out of office. We need to be behind and just calling these people until they do the right thing.
Oh, you're absolutely correct, Roz. You're absolutely correct. I think that, you know, something needs to be done to shake these people up. I'm sick of these doctors. I'm sick of them. I'm sick of these judges. You know, somebody needs to maybe give them a taste of their own medicine to show them that we're not going to take this crap off of them anymore. It's time that we do something, Roz, and if we don't do something quick, we're all going to be buying barbed wire fences. And that is the plan, whether we like it or not. So, I take my hat off to you for standing up fighting and continue to fight. I just wish it was just more people out there willing to take a stand. You know, it's sometimes it's better to do something than to sit around and do nothing. So we have to make that decision, how we're going to deal with it, what we're going to do, and what's next. But I don't know, Roz, I think that the only thing going to change, to me, there's never a change, even all the way down through history, without a conflict. And I think it's time that a conflict might come. I don't know. I keep saying, I'm very peaceful-minded, but each day as I grow older, I'm understanding that's what they want you to do. They want you to be, but I just believe that just like the Vietnam War and all these other wars, when people say that the people couldn't win, the Vietnamese spanked the United States butts. But we have to make sure that we're doing what we need to do to make sure that we're doing the right thing and making sure that, we're doing it for the future and not for ourselves, because everything should be done for the future. And especially for our children. Because I tell you, if we continue the way we are now, our children will be behind barbed wire fences. Because that's their plan. The rich folks is only getting richer, and the poor folks getting poor. How could a doctor make a decision like on your case when they knew better? You know what I'm saying? How could that be?
$16,770, Dr. John Stahlberg, whore doctor from Santa Monica, California, who lost his medical license in New York giving little pills to his friends, is here. He didn't even see me for 4 years. He didn't want to see me. He adopted the judge's medical diagnosis. The judge is not a doctor. State of California, you don't have to be a doctor to make a medical diagnosis. It's destroying my life. I'm a law-abiding citizen. And I'm going to tell everybody, it's already come to your door. If you don't think that this all involves you, the corruption is so rampant, the schools, the money, this is the taxpayers' money paying for killing off teachers, people who are law-abiding citizens. Their money is paying for this. They should be standing up and they should be screaming already. And all these liberals that have voted for all the different people, including Obama, who his plan is to destroy America and the world, and all he can get you is a fundraiser, we need to elect somebody else. Martin Luther King said you look at the content of a person's character. That's how you vote. That's what we need, men who love the Lord, who walk in faith, who walk in love, who walk in righteousness, or we're not going to meet, or we're not going to win, but we can win. We can win.
Oh, absolutely. You are 100% correct. We can win, but we got to fight together. We got to stand together. We got to learn to do things together. When we do all that, then we're going to win. We got to bring these corporations to their knees. If we bring the corporations to their knees, we'll bring these judges to their knees. So we got some work to do. So we need to get out there and do the things that need to be done. And on that note, Ross, I got to let you go. I got to bring on my guest. But I will be talking to you soon. Send that petition out again for them to sign that petition for me, and I will talk to you very, very soon.
Okay, love you all.
Love you too. And you have a great day, and enjoy all this good weather. And we'll talk to you soon. That's a promise. On that note, let me bring in my good friend, Dorothy. Dorothy, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Great. How about yourself?
I've been here. Let me kind of hit on a few places that Roz went and that you've been talking about. Corporations are correct. The unfortunate thing is that these systems that are playing with our lives and that have been operating for well over 70, 80 years, abusing people physically, sexually, psychologically, technologically, on an ongoing, ever-increasing, from the time you are born, selected individuals to break them down, to use them to totally manipulate their lives based on organized criminal trauma networks. This was the coming together, sadly, in the 70s of the FBI and the mafia that they helped to redistribute all over the country, Catholic Church and other people. And please know, I mean, the sad thing anymore is often there are good liberals, there are good conservatives, but what we're talking about is we have Republicans, we have Democrats, we have independents. There needs to be a fourth party, which is called the reprobates, and we would put all those people that have criminally brutalize and abuse people, manipulate them using neuro-linguistic programming, which is a hypersensitization or desensitization of word signals and trauma-based abuse of when children have been significantly brutalized as children. They can be easily led and highly suggestible in and through their college years and then put into different industries where they can be drugged, put into sexual slavery, brutalized, that's including the military and all the way across different industries. So you have people that have no clue what has happened in their life. They're destroyed, they're devastated, and then they're thrown away as if they don't matter and don't mean a thing. Now, please know, most of these people who have been targeted were the peacemakers, were the ones that were willing to use real diplomatic issues. They weren't weak. They were willing to use military might when it was necessary, but not under these circumstances. So what's going on, excuse me, is you have good and decent people who were brought up believing in rules and trusting, and also who are willing to have boundaries, respectable, safe, honest, honorable boundaries. These were the people that were gone after. These are the people that they have absolutely brutalized, traumatized, even including in our military, where in the 1980s they used torture, U.S. Army torture from Vietnam, their manual. That would go in the 2001, that would be converted into the enhanced interrogation techniques in which Americans did not stand up against these things. Many of these predators have now been taught in these torture techniques that happened to a great many of us in the military. These are the same victims of rape and abuse in the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s, who were coming out and honestly asking our public and our American government to assist us in stopping the brutalities that we endured. The VA has repeatedly broken down, shattered, brutalized, and set over the edge to get them to attempt to provoke these victims to either kill themselves or go out and harm somebody else. All along, these same organized criminal trauma networks are attempting to get rid of the evidence, which is us, as military members, as veterans, as good and decent Americans across this country, with the ideal that one day they're going to have a global humanity that's going to be peace, honorable, and willing to assist people. Now think about this logically, people. If the good and the decent people that when they were children would volunteer to help rake an elderly person's leaves, shovel their snow, who would go out of their way to make sure that people got across the street as crossing guards, and they were the good and decent, if they are the ones that are being brutalized and traumatized, do you think that when this is all said and done and they have their one world order, that it's going to be anything but chaos their way? This is going to be Sharia law on steroids, American style. And it is about criminality. It is about, because they're not willing to have any level of boundaries, especially when it comes down to destroying human beings' lives. And when anyone of our country gives immunity to a foreign power who has been brutalizing the children of America, and that's the Catholic Church, and those people who did this throughout this country, when they gave immunity to them, there is nothing that can come good of a system that is willing to destroy the capabilities and competence, the full competence, that the divine creator, by whatever name you want to call it, gave to each one of us. And that is one reason why so many of these victims are being silenced on mainstream media and on anything except alternative media, is because for those victims who are willing to come out and speak, we are being silenced in whole and in part. Because to know what our path is going to say we're going to see the rest of the population fully enslaved.
Hey, I agree with that, Dorothy.
And we're already there.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's amazing when you sit down and think about it. You know, but what is the solution? Is there a solution to this?
The solution. Well,
yes.
The solution is, number one, it's time to have what Kevin Annett out of Canada is doing, a common law court that is hearing these issues, as well as the fact of beginning to put arrest warrants out for the people who have been behind it, accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Because these abuses of human beings have caused these people to shatter. This is what's known as blowback by the CIA. It was training and abusing people throughout the world that when these people then tried to recover in peace, in harmony, in safety. They tried. I saw veterans trying to get help all the time, and every time we reported criminal abuse, we were subjected to increase ongoing deliberate abuse. That included killing our animals, breaking into our homes, moving things around, changing things, and in fact even killing loved ones. This is what we have been through. And
wow.
No one.
You know, it's amazing. But did you think what's working in Canada would work here in America, especially with these greedy, blood-sucking corporations? I don't know. I don't know whether these corporations would give up their power. The only way to do it is take them over. And also, there's another thing, too. The court system. I think that, you know, people should start going into these courthouses, dragging these judges, prosecutors, and court-appointed attorneys out, and landing them up against the wall. I think that's to let them know that the people are not going to take this mess no more. And believe me, I'm about as non-violent as a person can get, but I think something needs to be done, not just for today, but for the future. I don't know what we need to do because the corporation is controlling these court systems. And even the prison system is controlled by corporations.
So what do we do?
I've
been through the court systems on multiple levels, and I've seen it. I've seen it personally. Now, here's some solutions. What most Americans don't know is that the attorneys, the prosecutors at every level work for the city to protect them. And citizens who are set up in systems have to go out and get money. Often, many times, have been denied the right to work, denied to have safe work and work safely, so they don't have the money to fight these systems. So what we need to do is we need to, with our tax money, we need to hire a legitimate, honorable, honest person who will represent every citizen in our communities at pennies on the dollar. Why are we paying for the city to fight us? When, in fact, even when we take them criminal abuse, we're denied, ignored, when, in fact, they're the ones who know it. Now, the other side of it is Kevin Annett out of Canada has begun going through the world court, in which he has also suggested to put together a common law court, which is of the people, the real people, not the pretend judges, not the pretend systems where psychiatrists and psychologists pick the jury's folks. That's jury tampering. My law professors told me that back in 1980s, that that's what they were doing. When you do that, that's jury tampering, so you're fixing the jury. And it's being all over the place. There is nothing. When you walk into a courtroom, the first thing you need to do is, I protest to the fixed jury, because any psychologist, psychiatrist, social worker in behavioral sciences who even deal with that, and if an attorney is trained in that, then they should be recused because they are doing jury tampering.
Repeat that again. Tell me, what are they doing as jury tampering?
Jury tampering in the 1980s, they had psychiatrists, psychologists helping to pick juries.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only one-sided. It was only typically for the defense. So if it was your rapist, and this was the case my professor actually told me, is that they actually picked, they had psychologists, psychiatrists, to pick for rape trials because they had socialized women in America to believe that the victim was at fault. Now, that was the beginning of what we would see later on rolling down the hill on everything, where they began picking juries over and over and over, and they had psychologists. They have people who are trained in how they move and what they think and all this other stuff. They do history.
Amazing. You know, here's what I think, though.
That's jury
tampering. I know how America operates. I know people in America can be scary, too. I think that, you know, you got to find a couple of, like, Barron County, for example. I think that the people should rush in there, grab all them judges, and prosecute, and especially the court-appointed attorney, and drag them out of the courthouse and line them up against the wall and give them, like they like to set bond at $30,000, $50,000,
get them for every time that they say, for every 1,000 that they say, get them 50 lashes. And I think that's the only way that they'll get the message that the people are in charge rather than this. But listen, I gotta let you go. But listen, I like what you just said. That's amazing when you talk about Canada and all this other stuff. But you got 90 seconds. Say whatever you want.
Look, there are solutions. I do not recommend any vigilantiness because that's only going to bring these people with their weapons. And they,
they said about the Vietnamese. The Vietnamese gave this country a good weapon.
I understand that. I understand that. I was military, so I more than understand that. And I've been through torture like most people have no clue about. So the issue is I am not interested in vigilantiness, but we do need to back these people off in ways that is highly suggestive that we're not going to take it. And
never
that's
happened.
That's where Kevin Annette out of Canada is making huge moves. So we need to see about joining those forces of all of us across the country.
All right, let's do it. Hey, have you signed my petition yet?
I have not yet.
All right, listen, I need you to go to change.org, Key and Reverend Pinkney, and sign my petition. And on that note, I got to move on. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Don't forget to sign it. I'm looking forward to it now. All right, everybody, it's that time of the year. Now the question is, will there ever be a change without a conflict? I do not believe that the corporations is going to give up their power unless the people take them over. It's time that we change the way we do business around here. It's time that we say no more. We're not taking this crap no more. I think every county, the people should go in there, drag those judges out, the bad ones. Now, we got some good ones now. Don't drag the good ones out. Drag them out. That goes for that prosecutor. That goes for the, especially them court-appointed attorneys. Now, those are the ones who really need the lashes. Those are the ones that we need to deal with. Also, on Tuesday, I will be going to court back into to get a stay on this bond over so we can go to the appeal court. So, well, you know, it's really fun and games. We know what they're trying to do, what they're trying to accomplish. We just have to stay focused and do what needs to be done. I tell you this much, I'm always excited to go into that courtroom because regardless, you know, what it is, we know that sooner or later they're going to have to die. And then hell going to be their home. We're dealing with very, very bad people. Most of them wearing the black robes. They used to wear white ones. But now they're wearing black. But the point is, we need to stand up for them. Stand up and fight these guys. Oh, I love that idea. You know, you people out there, let's change the way we do business. Because there's never, ever going to be a change without a conflict. And those of you out there who think there will be, it won't happen. They got too much money. Their resources are too great. But they can be defeated. They can be defeated. Just like the Vietnamese do, just like a gun stand, same stuff. You know, we have to get out there and, you know, and those of you out there, study the book, The Spook Who Sat by the Door. Read that book by Sam Greenlee. It tells you it can be done. Those of you who are out there, we must change the way we do business. On that note, and remember this, I'm a nonviolent person. And I'm nonviolent. What about the people that violent? I mean, what are you thinking? I've been nonviolent all my life. I don't believe in violence. But fortunately, I know that there will never be a change without a conflict. Unfortunately, I should say. So those of you out there, you got to change the way you're thinking. The revolution got to come. And the revolution will come. With or without you. That's the thing. The revolution will come with or without you. Whether you like it or not.
Because I think people are sick and tired of these court systems and these corporations. I mean, we're fed up with them. You know, it doesn't have to be led by me. It could be led by you. But the point is, it needs to be done. So those of you out there, I want you to put that knee under your hat. I want you to call in next week and give me your thoughts. Give me your thoughts. The revolution is coming, with or without you. So you better brace yourself. No matter what you think, it's coming. So prepare yourself, because that's the only way that it's going to be done. Oh, I love that idea of dragging them judges out of that courthouse and lining them up and giving them lashes. Oh, I love that idea. And I think that's what we, you know, should be done. On that note, I got to say all, good night all. We'll talk to you next week. Let's listen to a little Wake Up Everybody.
World has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up all the teachers, come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. Let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors. Make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long. For the judgment day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we can do it if we all lift a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time.
Don't push that door. Don't do that.